I want to read some this morning and talk with you. It's not too late. Everybody feels pretty good. It's not real hot this morning. It's fairly comfortable. Let's take just a few minutes for the Lord and talk just a little bit. In the book of Revelation, in the 11th chapter, going back now to the 7th angel, speaking of some things here. I go back a lot of times and read the same chapter that I've read many times so that we can really glean it and get the good out of it. In the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says in the 14th verse, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." All right, now in reading this, it brings us down to the 12th chapter of our readings. And in reading this, we can see right away that this has to do with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The last three trumpets, as I remind you again, a lot of people know, some of them can't remember, but the last three trumpets was woe, woe, woe. In other words, what it means is the last three trumpets that was to sound was to bring great disaster and terror, heartaches and troubles into the earth and to the people. It was to be a great woe, a great calamity, a great heartache, a great sorrow. And this was to be woe, woe, woe. Now, in the 11th chapter, the sounding of this trumpet, this last trumpet, when this last trumpet had sounded, the Bible said all of a sudden there was a great earthquake. A terrific earthquake hit. And the Bible speaks of the earthquake being so tremendously great. The people gave glory to God because it was so terrible. After they have rebelled against God like they had, all of a sudden they begin to turn to God. Now, it is obvious that while this trumpet is sounding, there are still people in the earth. Now, this is what I want you to see. A lot of times in reading the book of Revelation, we just kind of take it for granted, you know, like, well, this is something spiritual, and when all of this takes place, there's no more human beings around on the earth. But you can see here that there's obviously men and women still in the earth during the sounding of this great trumpet. And that there is still sorrows and heartaches. There must still be industries. There must still be earthly functionings. There must still be colleges and schools. There must still be housewives, busy housewives about the house. In other words, what I'm saying is that at the sounding of this trumpet, the worldly activities are still in progress at the sounding of this trumpet. Now, if that is true, then the question is in our minds, Where was this angel at that was doing the sounding? If the worldly activities are still going on, then where was this angel when he was doing the sounding? And whether or not did they see this angel as he sounded, as he moved through heaven? As he began to move through the heavens or whatever it was, did somebody see him as he come out and begin to sound? Did they see him as he come forth? There's a good thought there. Somebody would say for sure they saw him, Brother Pye. And then a question would arise in a Bible scholar's heart like this. The Bible says that I make my angels spirits, ministering spirits. The Bible said that God is a spirit. And you can't see God because he's a spirit. So obviously if angels are spirits, you couldn't see angels either. So then the question would arise, did anybody see the angel? It was obvious that these were angels that were doing the sounding. How many of you are listening to me? Are you interested enough to discuss it? There's a lot of things, brethren, that we don't understand, and a lot of things that we are so sure that we do understand that we don't ever bother to try to find out whether it's right or wrong. For instance, we say Brother Branham finished the mysteries. I mean, we just say that. We say Brother Branham finished the mysteries. Somebody say, Brother Branham finished the mysteries. That's all of the mysteries. But as I've said here a number of times, if that is true, I'm leaving it to your own integrity, but if that is true, then what happened to the mystery concerning death? For the Bible said that there was a mystery. Paul spoke of a great mystery. And this mystery concerning death was, behold, I show you a mystery that we shall all not sleep but be changed. Now, what happened to this mystery? If Brother Branham finished them, then what happened to this mystery? See, there has to be something wrong somewhere. People have got things out of kilter and they've got things wrong. Somebody would say, well, I believe Brother Branham revealed the mystery. If Brother Branham revealed the mystery, then why are we still here? Now somebody said, well, it just had to be a mystery made known. Why did God make it a mystery to start with? Somebody said, well, it ain't supposed to change us. Well, then why did he make it a mystery? I think he wasted his time. If he made it a mystery when it wasn't going to have any effect on people, I don't see why he bothered to make it a mystery. I don't see why he should hide anything like that if it's not going to be any benefit to the people in a special way to you. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right, thank you. Looks like I've got folks that don't want to say nothing this morning. I like, if you believe what I'm saying, I like for you to say amen. If you don't believe it, I like for you to say shut up. And I said, what do you do if I say shut up? I wouldn't do a thing but go right on preaching unless I felt like shutting up. All right, now, in the mystery, now, do you see any porn in hiding something? I mean, why should you hide something if there's no reason for it? I don't see any reason to put money in the bank if nobody's going to bother it, do you? I don't see any reason of building a great big vault to make it a secret and hold it behind shut doors if nobody's going to tamper with it. If the mystery of death in what Paul spoke of, if that isn't some great super knowledge or understanding as to changing the church, then why did Paul call it a mystery? I mean, why should it be a mystery? All right, now, it was said that Jesus made known things that was hid from the foundation of the world. Said great men have desired to see it, but now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. Now, you say, what do you think, Brother Pye? What do you think it will take to change the church? I believe it will take a mystery. I believe that it will take a mystery to change the church. And I believe in my heart that the mystery that it will take is the very mystery that Paul said, "Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep but be changed." I believe that's the mystery it's going to take. Now, Brother Branham confessed this, that that last mystery, if they could have understood what he was saying, was hid in the seven thunders. He admitted that there was something that would change the bride and get her out of here. He never said it was the mystery of Paul. He never said it was anything as to that effect. But he confessed that there was something that he had not gotten a hold of. Amen. One of the reasons that Brother Branham confessed that was because he couldn't do anything but confess it. Because he knew he had done all that he knew to do, and the church still wasn't changed. So all he could do in the face of that kind of opposition or people looking on is to make an open confession that he just hadn't found it. How you can say amen? Somebody say, bless God, I'm not going contrary to Brother Branham. I'm not asking you to go contrary to Brother Branham. I'm not asking you to go contrary to anybody. I'm not asking you to believe what I say. I'm just here to tell you, that's all. You do whatever you want to with. That's your business. When Brother Branham come to tell you what God told him to tell you, well, he told you, and that was all it was to you. You can believe it or not believe it. I come to tell you what God told me to tell you, well, you can believe it or not believe it. That's your business. All right, somebody said, well, I'd rather believe him. Well, that's good. I mean, if you'd rather believe him, well, you believe him. If you'd rather believe me, believe me. If you'd rather believe somebody else, believe him. It's whatever you want to believe. That's your business. It's just my job to tell you. Now, in the light of the fact that Brother Branham is dead and has been dead for a number of years, and in spite of all that they did in saying they were going to resurrect him, I said, you'll never do it because the revelation of Jesus Christ shows that's not it. And he never did come up. He's still in the grave till today. Now, when the Lord does something, it don't make any difference how much power you got. When the Lord does something, it's going to be that way. I remind you again that Elijah took a potion and took a chariot ride. Elisha took double potion and went down to the grave. Are you listening? And as far as I know, the man with the double potion, Elisha, is still laying in the grave over in Israel right now. I said, if you go there, if you find the right place and dig him up, you'd still find his bones there probably right now. Now, there's a possibility that he might have been one of them that got up out of the ground at the resurrection and went on to paradise with the Lord. Some of them got up and walked around out of the earth. But you'd find his bones right there. Other than that, you'd find his bones right there today. Because it isn't how much you got from God. God has got a plan. And God is going to work that plan, and you can have a double potion. But if God intends for you to die with TB or cancer or whatnot, you're going to die with it. And nobody's going to change it. If your pattern is to show a certain thing in life, when that certain thing terminates, you're going to die. And pass on out of this world, you can pray and fast and beg and plead and do whatever you want to, but you're going to go on over. Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't believe it. Well, I didn't say you had to. I'm just telling you. Somebody said, well, prove it with the Bible. All right, Moses said, Lord, let me go into Canaan. Let me go in, he kept saying. Let me go in. The Lord said, let what I've done be sufficient to you. Go up there and take a look at it, and that's all, Moses. Now, would you say that Moses was worthy to go into the Canaan land? Somebody said, well, he was sick and couldn't make it over. The Bible said his eyesight hadn't waxed dim, and the natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. It said he was still like a young man. It was God's ordination. According to the revelational types, Moses being a type of Jesus, he could not cross that Jordan. There was no way. Jesus was made sin. And sin couldn't get over the Jordan. Jesus, being made sin, had to die on this side of Jordan. Is that right? And Moses, being likened unto the prophet Jesus, had to die on this side of Jordan. But now Joshua, being typical of the Holy Ghost, could go right on over Jordan, take the people and go right on over. A lot of people don't understand this. And if I say it, you'll probably jump the gun on me, but I'm going to say it anyway. That Joshua was still Moses going into Canaan land. It was the same Moses that was on this side that went into Canaan land through Joshua. And the words was that you see that you do exactly what Moses instructed you to do. Tell them exactly what Moses said. Is that right? No alterations, no change, nothing. Somebody would say, well, bless God, if it's still Brother Branham going over, then why all the alterations and changes? There hasn't been one alteration and not one change, not one. Not one. Somebody said, well, Joshua never did change nothing Moses done. That's where you're wrong, he did. But what Moses taught, he didn't change what Moses taught that God gave him. But what Moses done and what Moses said, it wasn't of God. Joshua didn't partake of it. The thing that God smote Moses for at the rock, you don't find Joshua ever repeating it. Like Paul facing Peter with the keys to the kingdom. Him facing him and him with the keys of the kingdom. But he said, I blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. There had to be a change. Somebody said, well, bless God, that's how I got in, Brother Pike. God sent me here to blame you to your face, cause you to be blamed. I done had a whole lot of circuit riders coming through to do that. If you come to do that, you're running late. I done had a whole book of them. Some of them's coming back now and saying, Brother Pike, I was mistaken. Like Brother Ted King come back here a while back and told me, said, Brother Pike, said, I got up in your pulpit and said things that ought not to have been said. And said, now everybody's got their pulpits closed to them. And said, I can't get in nowhere. So then you come too late to do that. But there is a mystery that is to translate the church and to take the church out of the world. And some of them are going to miss it. Now I say, what do you believe, Brother Pike, will take the church out of here? You believe God's going to do some great phenomenal thing, some great miracle, or somebody with a super miracle is going to run through the land and change everybody over? God is the spiritual word. He is the word of revelation. In the beginning, he was the spiritual mind. Today, he's the spiritual mind. Every miracle that God has ever done has been by his spiritual intelligence or his spiritual mind. Everything. He's never done anything except by that spiritual mind. The Bible said that all things was created by the Word, and without the Word was nothing made that was made. Is that right? Today, whatever God does today, he'll do it through the Word. If he created you by the Word, then he'll change you by the Word. If it has been God that has brought you into the world and made you to see by the Word, he can put your eyes out by the Word and he can bring them back by the Word. In other words, it takes the Word, whatever the Word is. But anyway, there is a great spiritual significance in the ministry speaking to you from the pulpit. When we speak to you from the pulpit, we are the power that God is using to change you from glory to glory into the very image of the Son of God. From part to part, from revelation to revelation, from knowledge to knowledge, from faith to faith of that knowledge that comes. In other words, whatever the minister does, it is to change you into the very image of the sons of God. Now, but here this trumpet is sounding. The last trumpet is sounding. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If Brother Branham was the last trumpet that was to sound, then that means that the last woe has already come upon the earth. Is that right? The last woe come upon the earth, back yonder. Now somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it means when he sounds that everything will come on out. No, that's what I taught. That's not what some of you taught, and that's not what some of the brethren taught that come here from Brother Brandon's following. They said that ends it right now. When he sounded, and that ended it. When he got through, that was it. It was finished up. Is that right? All right, now, he's been dead for a number of years. Maybe 10 years, a long time. That means that that woe has done passed, done gone on. It's done sounded and it's done gone on. And that's the end of it. Now everybody believes that. Say amen. All right, we got one that believes it. Said amen. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's right. All right, now, Another thing is, we are almost down to the year of 77. Brother Branham's prediction was that they would usher in the millennium by 77. It's wrote down in the book if you doubt it. According to what I understand, it's an impossibility to usher in the millennium in 77. Some of them have asked me over and over, said, Brother Pike, what do you think about it? And I've been reluctant to say anything about it. But it is an impossibility according to what I understand. Somebody said, well, you just lift it up in your head and that's all there is to it. It might just be exactly that. If you'll wait around to 77, if the bombs start bursting, and you know I'm lifted up in my head. Now, if it brings in the millennium. If it don't, then you'll know that I wasn't lifted up in my head. It's just like when I made the statement that 3.5 years prior to 77 that there wasn't going to be no natural rapture take place. I said, as sure as you live, when the time comes, they're going to be disappointed in it. And they're going to find out that God was speaking and God's a spirit. And some spiritual thing was taking place just like the spiritual thing that I spoke of in 66. You remember, Brother Taylor? And it's going to be the same way in the coming of 77. Brother Branham was a spiritual man, and Brother Branham was looking at spiritual things, and the followers got confounded. You say, how do you mean that? Brother Branham said over and over, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? That's what the apostle taught. God is a spirit, and God speaks spiritually so that God can get the spirit in the minds of those that are spiritual. And those that are intellectual and unlearned rest these things to their own destruction, the Bible said. God is a spirit. God works in a spiritual way. And what God does is a spiritual move. And people that are intellectually minded misses it altogether. That's why they fuss and feud and split hairs and confuse the church and try to keep... In other words, it's that old serpent mind always going of trying to figure it out, trying to intellectually define it, make it fit what they think or feel about it. Come on, folks. And they miss it 100,000 miles. Now, first of all, one of the reasons that you can plainly see that 77 could not usher in the millennium is because they, just like this woe, there is to be 3.5 years at least of the tribulation period. There's got to be that much of it. It is designated for 7 years, the last week of Daniel. But at least 3.5 years of it's got to be turmoil. And it's got to be all of these things sounding and falling. And just like this trumpet is the sounding of a tribulation thing to introduce or to bring in the tribulation. The man or the angel that sounds the trumpet of this last trumpet is the man that's going to bring in the tribulation period. He's the man that's going to bring it on the scene, or the angel. And you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pine? Because it apparently is striking in the middle of the week. And in the middle of the week, the man-child is caught up and the woman is seen with a foot on the moon. And at that time, there has been a rapture from the sounding of that, and then something has taken place. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that you're saying that Brother Branham was not the last angel? I didn't say nothing. I'm just telling you what you hear. Whatever you hear, that's what I said. The last trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. That trump is Jesus Christ's voice himself. Every man has a trump. Lift up your trump, your voice. But the last one is to bring the dead out of the ground. Why? Because it's the mystery that Paul spoke of. I read here, and it said that when this last angel sounded, there was a voice that said, behold, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, and it's time to judge the dead and reward the prophets and all of them. Is that right? All of them, both great and small, that's done whatever they're supposed to do for the Lord. It's obvious that this is the last trump sounding here. Thessalonians said, when the trump of God should sound, the dead in Christ should rise first. We which are alive and remain. Now I want you to see that. We which are alive and remain. Somebody said, but I don't believe that's going to happen until after the tribulation period, Brother Pye. Well, there's one thing for sure. It said, when this trump sounds, they which are alive and remain shall also be caught up to meet him. If Brother Branham is right in the way that the brethren are interpreting what he said, or the Spirit said, then if the bumming happens over here, there ain't going to be nobody alive and remain. Because he said everything was in ashes. Said he didn't see anything but ashes and debris. Is that right? But the Bible said, they which are alive and remain. Now you say, well, Brother Pike, you say that this won't usher in the millennium. The way that the brethren are teaching it is impossible to usher in the millennium under those conditions. There's no way. When the last trump of God shall sound, the dead shall rise or raise incorruptible. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible. Paul said the terrestrial will change to the celestial, and we mortals shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? And death shall be swallowed up in victory. Somebody would say, what kind of victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. Enoch was changed by faith. It was a translation by faith, and corruption was swallowed up through a translation, and the incorruptible was no more by faith, the victory that overcometh the world, even the faith of Jesus Christ that's imparted unto us through the use of the word. Is that right? Contend for this faith by which he is sanctified, the faith which is in him, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. All right, now, as we study a little bit further now, how can 77 bring in the millennium if there has been no tribulation? Somebody says, well, bless God, if this ain't tribulation, I don't want to go through it. Brethren, you're living just like you're sitting on a honey hill with sugar in the spoon. You don't even know what tribulation is. The people of Africa over there is watching your little babies die. Well, that's more of a tribulation than you've ever seen. Starving to death. But when God talked about a tribulation here, he talked about something happening. He talked about now one of these few tornadoes that come through here and flip six of our trailers upside down. That was just a light taste of what he's talking about. Now that really shook you up. Do you think there's any difference in your mode of living or the way you've been living than it was when those tornadoes come through here? Did that change your way of life any or make you feel any different? Why, some of you act scared to death. That's right, every time the lightning flashed and the wind blow, you'd head for the church as fast as you could go. Why, in your average and usual modes of living, you never run to the church. As a matter of fact, I couldn't even keep you here long enough to talk to you. You want to run away from it. It took those tornadoes before I could ever get your attention long enough to tell you what I was trying to tell you. All right, now, see, there is a sounding of this last trumpet, the last woe. That means if Brother Branham sounded the last woe, there was somebody that sounded a woe before Brother Branham. It was a horrible woe. It also means that before that fellow sounded, there was somebody else that sounded a woe that was a horrible woe. And then when Brother Branham came, the last woe was sounded, and now the last woe's gone. It is an impossibility to bring the millennium in until that last 3.5 years have passed off for the tribulation period. Well, there's not even enough time between now and 77 to have 3.5 years tribulation. You couldn't have it because there ain't enough time left for it. That means that there is something else that needs to be taught and something that people did not teach and did not understand. What it has been, brethren, is that Brother Branham saw these things by vision. And when you see a thing by vision, that means you see a revelation. Because that's what a vision is. He tried his best to explain to the people. He said, when I see a vision, it's like I'm sitting under a tree and something comes to my mind, which is a revelation. It keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And then it moves in closer and closer and closer. And finally, it just breaks out, as he said, into a vision. He just gets so strong, he gets so spiritual, his eyes of understanding are so intense in it, until finally he just sees it just like it is. Because his whole body is being subjected to the spiritual things of God. Now, you say, well, let's cut and be so, Brother Pye. Well, it has to be so. Even Jeannie Dixon will admit that revelation is visions. Now, somebody said, but a vision is what you sit there and look at. Well, that's what you're doing. He's looking at it. Through the eyes of your understanding, Paul said, that's what you're interested in. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened. You see God through eyes of understanding. God's a spirit. Now, God can create a great phenomenon and something natural take place out here. But God doesn't come down in this world. You go into God's world. He said, you draw nigh to God, and then God will draw nigh to you. Well, you're not going to sit here and eat a bunch of turnip greens every meal and crackers and cakes and just sit around and never fast and pray. God's just going to step out of glory and say, here I am. You see, in a vision. God isn't going to do that. You're going to have to be spiritual. Paul said, I would that you be spiritual. Folks have to be spiritual. Got to have a spiritual church to see visions. After 14 days of fasting on the boat, Paul said, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, he stood before me this night and said, don't worry, Paul, everything's going to be all right. Now, did the angel break into Paul's world or did Paul break into the angel's world? Somebody said, well, the angel had to come down. The angel was there all the time. He didn't have to come from nowhere. God don't have to come from nowhere. He said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of it. The angels encamp round about them and love them. He don't have to come down here and do nothing. He's waiting for you just to peek in. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then, a vision. When we speak of a vision, the Bible said in the last days your young men shall see visions. Where are all the visions that the young men are seeing? If Brother Branham is the only one that saw visions, and where is the young men? What has happened to the young men? Surely to the good Lord of heaven, somewhere in this world, there are some young men that's bound to fulfill the word enough to see a vision. Either that or the Lord would have lied about it. Is that right? He said, in the day when I pour out of my spirit, he was saying that my spirit is going to be among men. My tabernacle, that's your human body. And my spirit's going to be among men. And in the day I pour out of my spirit, it's going to cause young men to become spiritual enough to see visions. So then, what is the vision? You break into that world through the eyes of your understanding. It's a revelation. It can just come. Paul said one time, the Spirit speaketh expressly. It can come like Job. Job said, I saw an image pass before me. I couldn't make out what it was. It wasn't clear. It wasn't really expressively. But he said it was enough. It made the hair stand up on my arms. Job's suffering brought him into a realm. When you start suffering, you break into realms. I've heard of people that went through severe suffering just before their death, and they broke into certain realms, and it made a world of difference. We learn obedience by the things we suffer. How many are interested in what we're saying this morning? It's going to take so long till we ain't going to get to say much more. But now listen just for a few more minutes. See, young men would see visions. When Brother Branham saw these things, he said he saw them in a vision. Now, when you say he saw him in a vision, what do you mean? It means that he saw a spiritual thing happen. Like, for instance, take George Washington. When George Washington, the father of our country, when he saw this great vision that he saw, he said, I saw America fall down. I saw her completely defeated, go to her knees, so to speak. But when all hope was gone, he said he looked and he saw a reinforcement coming. Now, the way that he described this reinforcement, he said, even in his writings, it appeared that it was something heavenly that had intervened. Now, I believe that. George Washington's vision, I believe, was of God. And I see no possible way George Washington's vision could be fulfilled in a natural sense. Do you? As far as looking at this natural world here of what we call the Eagle Nation and President, whoever we got, except there. I don't see how I could ever fulfill like that. There's no way. It's obvious that George Washington, being spiritual and being concerned about his people, God, like Daniel, showed him what would befall the people in the latter times. And when he showed him the vision through all of the suffering of Valley Forge, God usually draws nigh to you when you're in sufferings. I'll be nigh to them of a contrite spirit and a broken heart. And when he drew nigh to Washington, this great thing transpired and he saw it. And I believe this. It may not be so, but I still believe it. I believe he saw the when the voice said, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I believe that he saw the fall of the Republic, saw it go down, by the great siege of the powers of Russia and Antichrist. When I say Russia, I'm not speaking of a nation, but I'm speaking of communism. It ain't just Russia, it's China. Communism is a plan of the devil. You can't blame it on any nation. As long as you blame it on a nation, you're just going to war with one another. Just like if you have trouble, you blame it on your neighbor and your neighbor blames it on you when neither one of you wants trouble. Russian people don't want to die, see their babies die, their daddies go off to wars and mamas ravish no more than you do. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That's where the problem is now, one nation blaming another. Like Adam and Eve blaming each other in the garden. That don't have nothing to do with it. It is a plan of the devil, a communistic regime, a plan of the devil that Satan is cunningly moving in, and whatever nation he can find weak in understanding, he moves in and brings it right on in and sets up a thing and it springs out from them. God only uses nations as a type. How many of you believe that's true? Why did the Lord turn to Peter when Peter had the keys of the kingdom and say, "Get behind me, devil, Satan"? Peter wasn't no devil. It's just that Satan got in him. All right, now you can't blame your problems on people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You follow me? A communistic evil. Now, the Lord is setting up a program also, isn't it right? Washington's vision, getting back to it. The fall of the Republic, as it went down, I believe it went down beneath the scourge of the communistic powers. When Washington saw it come back up, I believe that he saw Revelation 19, where when everything was at a complete failure, that Jesus with 10,000 of the saints broke the heavens and began to come back to pick it up and bring in the millennium and set back up the Republic in this sense, that America is a type of the Canaan land. Her republic has been a type of the world of peace that God's going to usher in. And being one and the same in the Spirit, Washington saw her fall and saw her rise back up. Because it's obvious in Washington's visions that great bombs was exploded. Great, terrific things happened in that vision, if you've ever read it. It was like a tribulation period. All right, now, I believe that Brother Branham saw the same thing. I can see right down to a T, seeing the vision or the revelation of what God has shown me. I can see exactly how Brother Branham saw it, because it has come to pass exactly the same way, spiritually speaking. And I saw the rapture take place right on time, and what we understood, spiritually speaking. I saw God get his people. It happened by revelation according to the types and shadows, just as we laid them out. It hit right on it. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, you're just a good guesser." Well, anybody in his right mind would know that I couldn't guess that much and be right about it. There has been hundreds and thousands. There is hundreds and thousands, not just hundreds, but thousands of things that I spoke of on these tapes. Somebody said, "You're exaggerating." I'm not exaggerating. There is thousands of things on these tapes that I spoke of, and different things that was pinpointed by types and shadows that came to pass exactly down to the type and shadow. Now that's the best guessing that's ever been in this world, if that's guessing. There's no such thing as guessing and doing that. I'm not guessing. Like I told some of them here, I take no credit for anything that's happening here that's good, that's coming together for this church, the commissariat, or your progress in God. I take no credit for it because I don't have anything to do with it. I talk to God and God reveals to me, and God talks to me and I talk to you. That's all. In other words, I'm just a messenger boy. That's all I am. I don't have nothing to do with nothing. I just come and tell you the same thing he tells me. The Bible said if I'm faithful, I'll do that. If I'm not faithful, I won't do that. So that's all I can do. All right, now, it is God, the Bible said, working in us to his own good pleasure, bringing about his own will. I see Brother Branham's vision, 77 bringing a termination of things. I believe his vision. I believe he saw the utter destruction, the demolishing, the tearing down, Every bit of it. I believe he saw it just exactly like he said. It's obvious that the other visions that he saw came to pass the way he said. This and most, without doubt, should come to pass the same way. But I believe this, that America being typical of what God was doing, that the last parts of the types and shadows was to take place. They have taken place even down to the rapture that Brother Branham predicted. Now, if that is true, that if 3.5 years prior to 77, and I made the statement that even back as far as 70, because it was to be a last week of Daniel, even as far as 70 to 77, which is 7 years, if everything has fell in place like I understand that it has, then when we came down to 3.5 years back this side of 77, God by that time had started opening this revelation and rapturing his people into the mind of God, and everything was falling in place, just one thing right after another. And I believe this as much as I believe I'm living. Anybody that's paid attention, that's loved God, that's been here, God has raptured them into the mind of God and the kingdom of God, took them out of this world, and they know now they're not of this world, they're out of this world. And if they got any understanding about them, they're sealed in away from this world. Because whatever God does, he does by his word. He creates by his word. He spoke me into existence by the word. He's kept me by the word. He sent his word and healed them. And when he took me out of this world, he took me out by his word. You say, how are you going to prove what you're saying? Jesus gave an uncertain sound to the Jews. They looked for the prophets. The prophets prophesied the coming of Jesus and the kingdom and the millennium all the way down, and the Jews missed it, as we say, by 100,000 miles. When Jesus came, they said, he's here, he's here. And somebody said, where? You know why? Because he came just exactly like Abraham's seed. The prophecy, if they'd have listened to it, they told them when in the prophecy. They said, when he comes, he'll be every bit of man, every bit bones, every bit flesh. He'll be a near kinsman. He'll be just exactly like you are, born of a woman, made under the law. There won't be no difference. Said there'll just be one thing you'll have to watch for, that in the season of his coming, it will be the fullness of time and everything will be taken care of. The world won't know nothing about it, because it's been approximately 2,000 years. And the fullness of time came back then, and the world knew nothing about it. They still went right on, but yet the fullness of time came. And everything the prophet said, the Bible said all that the prophet spoke of him was fulfilled. And as he walked along the road to Emmaus, he said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken concerning him or me." Slow of heart to believe. Got to figure it out for yourself. Slow of heart to believe. They said, well, when we get it figured out, we'll accept it. But when they got it figured out, it was too late. He had done his work, gone. Today the heathen say, yep, that was him, but it's too late. He's done gone. He done his work and done gone. He done crucified. They're guilty of his death now. How many of you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus stood there, the Jews said to him, said, now, we know the prophecy of the prophet said that you was coming. And here you are, and we're ready for you. And we want to set you up on a throne now and build you a throne. And we're going to straighten this mess out. And the Bible teaches that they would have set him up on a throne if he'd have let him. But he looked at him and he said, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, he said, you fellas didn't understand spiritually what I was saying. He said, you're carnal minded and natural minded, and here you are 2,000 years before the time, you've misinterpreted the prophecy, and here you are trying to take me as a natural man and make a natural kingdom and set this thing up just because you're upset with the Romans. Are you listening? And he confounded them. They said, well, it's what the prophecy said, that you would sit on the throne of David. He didn't dispute that. There was a time and a season for the fulfillment of it, and he didn't dispute it. But he wanted them to know that they had took something spiritually and interpreted it naturally. And that from that point on, everything, including the Catholic Church, would take every spiritual thing he said, turn it into a Trinity thing, and interpret everything natural, which they did. because they didn't understand what he was saying. But now in the evening time, the light's back, the veil is off, everything is coming spiritual again. And if we can understand it, we know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to close out in just a little bit, but listen briefly now. If the first church was set up at Pentecost and it never did properly function as far as taking the kingdom when it was predicted that it would take the kingdom, but if it went into a dark age and then after that come out in the evening time, and if that dark age was typical of the wilderness between Egypt and Canaan, then the tribulation being typical of the wilderness between the world and the coming world, millennium in America, that means that that dark age was typical of what's going to happen in the 7 years of Daniel. If that is true, then that means that the millennium must be previewed, and that's exactly what we're doing right here. We are previewing the millennium government, getting it ready. God's coming down to earth. God's setting it up in His own mind, in His own will, in His own way, getting everything ready. And when it's fully set up, then just like Brother Branham said, a great calamity, everything swept away, the tribulation period coming in. And when the tribulation period sweeps in, everything will be antitype. And then, as Washington said, this that was set up on this side will go through the scourging and rise on the other side to be God's holiness under the Lord government from now on. For in that day they'll have holiness unto the Lord on the pots and pans, on the horse's bridle. Everything will have holiness unto the Lord. Already, the government is terminating because somebody, I don't know who it was, Bill or somebody, I can't remember. Maybe Gary. But somebody come to me and they told me that the half a dollar, is that right, Brother Gary? The half a dollar, already they're taking the eagle off of it. And they're going back from 76 to 76. Is that right? Which is their 200 years of government. And they're putting that on there. And the eagle is gone. If the eagle is a type of God's prophets or God's church, or the Elijah catching away, as we say, of the church, if it is that, then that means that he's flew away somewhere. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean? I mean when they took old glory that we called it, which is a symbol of the stripes on Jesus' back, and we had to break it down. When they took it, and that man, symbol of the man-child, took it all the way up yonder and set it down on the moon, it indicated the glory of this world was gone, and that Ichabod was wrote over the door, and the glory of God was now up there. Is that right? That means that something is transpiring that has never transpired before. Something spiritually is taking place, and the world is so selfish in their thoughts about them not being the one to do it until they've got so carnal they're still being swallowed up in Jordan. Instead of thinking, instead of being like a bunch of children acting up, instead of saying, well, God, I'm glad I can get over the Jordan and go on to be with you. Everybody wanting to do their own thing, trying to project themselves so somebody would look at them. The very man that God does not want is the man that wants to project himself. That's the man he don't want to start with. And not only that, that's the man he won't use. The Bible said if you try to be first, you'll be last. You just go ahead and wash your brother's feet, God will make you first. But the man that's got that mind to be first, he's automatically contrary to God. He's carnal to begin with. Jesus came and washed their feet and made himself a servant and done without in everything to show you the pattern of what you had to do to be like Jesus. If I, your Lord and Master, have done these things, why can't you do it? We're supposed to be rendering a service to the people. Or somebody said, well, I'm rendering a service to the people. I'm giving the gospel and I'm buying me a tent and I'm doing this. And everything you've got, you put a price tag on. Everything you do, every service, you put a price tag on. And the leeches and the devils running there, you give them a job. Bill works for nothing up here in the taping department. He works for absolutely nothing. But somebody set up a big operation. They get some carnal-minded fella, and they know that you can keep his wheels turning as long as you give him a dollar. So they put him up there, and the whole thing is corrupt to begin with. Solomon said, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. In other words, get them that are not going to charge anything and find out who God wants. If God's ordained them, they'll automatically come in. If you put them all on a salary, you got no more than the world's doing. Anybody will work for you for a salary. But if you'll put them up there without anything, and they come and they work right, and their motives and desires is toward the building up the kingdom in a unity with you, in a oneness with you, after a while you can start supplementing them and giving them something, for they that wait at the altar are partakers with the altar, and you can start feeding them and you'll have a good thing. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Everything that's ever failed has failed from the inside. That's right. Somebody said, well, the bum fell on the top, but somebody from the inside made place for it to fall. Just about every person that ever dies, it's an interior damage. There's something wrong in here. Somebody said, no, it was out here. You can put it out here. I've seen cancer eat out a dip like you dipped it out with a dipper. The person would live right on. But when it gets on the inside into the blood and gets into the interior, that's when they got trouble. How many of you know that's true? I want men on the inside of our operation that's right. God does too. He's not going to have anybody otherwise. All right, getting back to the thought of our subject again here now. I run off the trail there, out on a limb to say something. All right, now looking at it again, there is not 3.5 years left for tribulation. That is a good indication, my brother, that when those bombs start falling, that could be the very beginning of the tribulation period right there. For that thing, the first 3.5 years, he's to come in with flattery. But when the tribulation period starts setting in, it ain't going to be eating cake and ice cream around your table. It ain't going to be riding in Cadillacs up and down the road having a good time. Somebody said, bless God, I've already been through a tribulation. You broke my heart. I don't get but $150 a week. Me and my wife, we can't do nothing but ride in a... Well, we can't ride in the Cadillac. We have to ride in a new Chevrolet. Somebody said, you're silly. No, I'm not silly. I'm talking about people that are silly. The Bible speaks of silly women. That is, people that are feminine, fleshly. So then, you've not gone through a tribulation. I've heard people say, well, this ain't a tribulation. This is the way they look at it. This ain't a tribulation, you know. Say, well, boy, I don't want to see one. You don't even know what a tribulation is. You see little boys walking around that's had their arms blowed off, and little girls dragging themselves around and no mothers, and one leg off and one eye out. Maybe their head just a big sore here where it's just healed back enough for them to stay alive. You see them dragging themselves around, you're going to find out you got problems. Like a man, a commentator, not too long ago, made a statement that he watched the little fellas as they drug themselves over to the garbage dump to get them a bite. You people that stick your money in a bank account to feed your belly to make it fatter than what it already is, the God said, I'll slay the fattest among you. You better start doing something for God and forget about it. All right, now. So then, there's got to be a tribulation period. If you bear with me a few more minutes now. There's got to be a tribulation period coming in. And brethren, it's going to be woe, woe, woe. Now you watch what I'm telling you. Brother Branham saw the millennium and he said it may come in before 77. Come on now. That's exactly what's happening right here. This is the millennium coming in. Just exactly like he saw it in the spirit, the millennium is coming in and people are... Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't mean this little handful of people. I mean the Bible said that death come by one man and resurrection come by one man. He doesn't even need the little handful of people. All he needs is one man. Once it's established in one man, it's done. That which is revealed belongs unto the sons of man. He don't use but one man to do it with.
That's right.
Now the millennium come in. If the millennium has come in, then what Brother Branham said was correct according to the Spirit. But altogether according to the Jews, it was wrong. Because the Jews said, you're the Son of God. Set it up, Brother Branham. Set it up. You're going to set it up. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You missed the revelation. This is a spiritual thing. It's for a season and a time yet to come. So they didn't understand his manner of speech. Is that right? Is that Bible? So then they couldn't understand him. He just killed him. He said, well, he's just an imposter. He told us all these things, and now here he is. He's just an imposter. If he really was the man, he'd have fulfilled everything the prophet said. Yet he fulfilled it right down to a T, even to his death and him killing him. They never did sin. All right, now, just a few more words here, and we're going to close for the morning. Now, you say, well, if this is going to be, and it was, Brother Branham being typical, coming in, the last trumpet sounding, everything going down the drain just exactly like the Lord had showed it. And then here comes the revelation, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the setting up of the millennium. People didn't see it. Now, once this is finished, like I said, once everything is set up, here come the Jesus, the prophet said it would be. The church is set up, 3,000 added to the church, everything set up, the fullness of time there. Once it was set up, everything was finished. Somebody said, well, praise God, now we got it, forget about everything. No, that was the spiritual perspective of it. That means that it was to go into a veil, that means it was to be put out, naturally speaking. Naturally speaking, the Jesus had come, the fullness of time had come, the fullness of the prophets had come. Now then, the next thing was just to put it out, like that. Put it out, let it go through the dark age, and not bring it back up till it's seasoned over here to set up the kingdom like the Jews expected. At the same time, you put him out, put the plan out, you put the Jews out, because those Jews were not to take part of this kingdom, because it's not of this world. They were to go out, be rejected, not be part of the kingdom of the world. And then, when the tribulation was over, them Jews was to come back up with their Jesus, back up with their Jesus. And when the Jewish body come back up with their Jesus head, they was to set up a natural earth. But during that time, the spiritual Christ with his spiritual membership moved right on. When the Jewish body died, the spirits went back to God, and we're typical of those spirits that come out of that Jewish body, and we're spiritual Jews, and we move right on through the veil, through the tribulation, nobody seeing anything, coming right on down till the last types and shadows is fulfilled, called the types and shadows, the fulfilling of them is only something that God might by that show the spiritual man every step of what he's doing. People that are not spiritual not see it. It wasn't put there for that purpose. But it was put there to edify us. So then if we understand it, we watch it, it comes right on down. Now it's come right on down to the confederation of the churches. If the dissecting of body, soul, and spirit was Jew, Catholic, and Protestant, that meant death and a spiritual operation within the veil until it come back together with Jew, Catholic, Protestant, and a confederation of churches, a union, a body, soul, and spirit. When it come back together, that meant at the end, when it come back together, all of God's work was finished. The types was finished. The church had then been raptured. Everything sealed in. The millennium already set up. That is in the spirit. Everything. And God's masterpiece was finished. And all he had to do was move away the intellectual people or the veil and expose it as it's set up over there as a great masterpiece that had been sculpted out by the great sculptor himself. Right over there to unveil it as a masterpiece in the millennium to bring in the new, not the new earth, but the restored earth. Once it's completely looked at and seen and everybody knows what it is and the functions is properly accepted, then the celestial glorifies it and it becomes a new earth and a new world, and he preserves it forever to where the devil can't ever touch it. All right, now, in saying this, that means that we have come down to this place. Brother Branham sounded and the mistress is finished, and then everything is set up over here. The revelation, which was the coming of Jesus, is here. The time, the fullness is at hand. Now all he's got to do is stamp it out. That is, the natural side of the church. Put it asleep now. Gross darkness covering the people. Lights go out. Put the church to sleep. Everything to go to sleep. Are you following me? Everything goes to sleep. When I say the church, not the church here, the church world. Because the church is just now waking up at the midnight cry. But to put the church out, which is the church world, everything's going to be a religion under the regime of Antichrist. When that goes out, once that goes out, and it will go out, it'll drop into the tribulation period. When it drops into the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble where he said, I'll make them pass under the rod. When it drops into the tribulation period, that means that just as the fullness of time came and the Jesus came and the fulfillment of all the prophecy came, everything was terminated. When that was put out, that meant that everything was to be hid to the natural people until way over here in the end time. And it would be manifestation of the sons of God. That is, the spiritual sons of God, which you already were, was to come out and be manifest in this body and see that all the time to set up a millennium government. Well, now then, if that's true, then this typical type of the last stage of the Protestant church, the Lord just lets the tribulation darkness come in, gross darkness covering the people. When it comes in, it just drops in over the people because the last types are finished. He has thoroughly previewed it. The fullness of time's already come. The Christ has already come. He's thoroughly previewed it. Everything is at an ultimate. Now just set back for just a little while and let it pass through the 7 years of tribulation or whatever it is to pass through. And then after it passed through, he just pulled the veil off of it over yonder and the whole thing's exposed. And it was the same thing it was over here. In other words, somebody said, well, I think it's going to be altogether different. Well, you've got a surprise coming. Because it's going to be this very earth that you're on right now, just like it was from Pentecost over to now. It's going to be the restored earth. God will not bring in the new earth. God will not glorify anything that is earthly until he has finished his heavenly work. His heavenly work is a priesthood work. And as long as the blood is on the atonement seat from Calvary, he's hid in the heavenlies with the spiritual Jew. And we are his priesthood work, his work in heaven. And this on earth will not be glorified until after Revelation 19 when we come back. Because we're hid with him. And when he comes back, we'll come with him. And when we come back, that'll be the manifestation of the sons of God. They'll clear this thing away out here. They'll get rid of Antichrist and they'll clear that thing away. And then you'll enjoy a little Bethlehem or whatever it is. Now, somebody said, well, there won't be no little Bethlehem. Oh, yeah, there'll be one. Now, they'll drop the bombs on this side of the world that can blow up. They can blow it up, which they might not do. They might not blow up everything over here. Brother Branham saw the bombs falling. But this place over here will function just like the rest of the world, the whole world. There'll be something over here, I'm sure. But if they blow up everything here, there is a spiritual framework that is in heaven of little Bethlehem and a record of it. It's there. It'll never be lost. Anything you ever done for God will never be lost. You're not forgetful of your labor. Besides that, the Bethlehem that will be set up in the natural over in the Holy Land over there will come into view. And this same government and the same people that is in this little Bethlehem will be as much God in that Bethlehem as they are God in this Bethlehem. It'll be as much you in that Bethlehem as it is this Bethlehem. And this over here being a spiritual Bethlehem is more Bethlehem than that is as far as a natural Bethlehem. You understand what I'm saying? That's a spiritual, natural type Jew and a natural type Bethlehem. It's a spiritual Jew and a real Bethlehem, a spiritual Bethlehem. All of this will be put back inside of the body. The body will come up in the glorification of that light that come out on Moses' faith will penetrate the whole thing and break through the veil, and the veil with the brightness of his coming will be swallowed up. The man of perdition destroyed, the image of the beast that come from the intellectual birth back there at the garden will be completely changed as the light swallows him up, destroying the man of perdition as it breaks from within. The outer man of perdition will be swallowed up and changed in the glorious image of the Son of God by the divine mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody is sure upset at me because they didn't get to tell you this. Somebody say amen. I said, as a brother here, it's just turn him to pieces because he wasn't the one that got to tell you this. You ought to be ashamed of your childish way of doing. And I said, bless God, Brother Pike told it. Now there ain't nothing else to tell. And I didn't get to do it after all my trying. Ain't that silly? You ought to think of it like this. Thank God that anybody, if it wasn't nothing but a rat, if he had to speak through a rat, that anything or anybody would bring something concerning great glad tidings of great joy. And realize that we've got a few little people here, just a handful of people, and that millions of people out yonder's never heard nothing about this. And you sit there with that silly sort of a melancholy thing when people are dying and going to hell, waiting for somebody to give them one drop of water out there. You need to go get born again. That's what you need to do. Somebody say amen. All right, let's everybody stand together. I love you. I'm not scolding you. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that wasn't me. Was it? If I'd have wanted you to know who it was, I'd have told you who it was. Said, well, won't you tell him confidentially? If I did, it'd probably kill him. So there ain't no need of him coming asking either. He knows who it is. You don't have to tell anybody. The Lord tells him. Let's sing a little song together. It's that old Cain jealousy that killed Abel. Same thing. He said, would not thou be accepted if sin wasn't at the door? If it wasn't for that old beast thing, you'd be accepted too. If you get out of that intellectual reasoning, quit trying to kill your brother, trying to cause trouble, the Lord would talk to you just as much as he talked to anybody else. Somebody said, well, I got a revelation too. I know just enough to confuse everybody that listens at you and turn them around. The devil, he quoted the word just enough to try to get Jesus turned around, the people that followed him, to try to tear up everything he had. He knows it all right. He's smart. Somebody said, boy, this fella's smart. He's one of the smartest fellas you ever met. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you, I love to talk to this brother. He's smart. Yeah, one of the smartest you ever seen. He never met nobody smarter than the devil. You just keep talking. He's smart, but he outsmarts himself. Somebody say amen. But the mind of God will lead you into some good thing, folks. It'll help you both naturally and spiritually. Jesus fed the multitude naturally and spiritually. This will take care of both ways. He said, I would that you be in health, prosper. It'll make you, it'll bring it all to you. It'll bring peace and happiness. As for the old paths and walk therein, you'll find peace. Just since we started the things down here, I found a great peace. Have you found a great peace since we've been down here? A great sweeping peace I found since we started this down here. It's just a great peace that just sweep over you. It's just something restful about it. Everyone that's put their money in that bank out there that's come to us and talked to us, as far as I know, the ones I've talked to, said that there was just some kind of peace and relaxation that come over them. I believe that. I believe what it was, they got on this side of Jordan. When they got over to these banks over here, they began to look and they saw the land so beautiful and plenty to eat and everything just wonderful that they said, well, ain't no need to worry. Why, here's plenty of everything. Whatever we need. All the paths of God are peace. Isn't that right? I'm going to tell you something, folks. Now, you listen. The spirit of Cain is what caused brethren to break off from us and leave us. Others would not break off from us because they were so afraid. They had the same spirit about them, but they wanted to stay till the last thing because they thought, well, I've learned since the others broke off that there was a little something else to be said, and they wasn't smart, and I'm going to get it, but the same spirit to break off again, just like they do in the camp meeting when one of them come to me to do that. Same thing, it caused them to get out there because they was afraid that Brother Pike was going to get to tell the people before they could tell the people. That's a personal, fleshly motive to start with. Afraid that some of these brethren going to get out there and get to tell the people before they got to tell the people. So they said, we'll just jump the gun and we'll just go on. But when you have a race, whether it's a horse race or whatever, Paul said the only man that wins is those that runs according to the rule. Now one horse might jump the gun and get started first, but he don't win the race. He automatically loses and forfeits his right to it. But the man that runs according to the rules, if he's the last fellow that comes in, if the others jump the gun, the man that come in won the race. Is that right? A lot of boxers have lost the bout because of technical knockouts. The other man could have knocked him slap out of the ring, but because they followed the rules and the other man got a little ambitious and broke the rules, he lost the fight. God help me not to break the rules. How do you know what the rule book is? This is the rules. This is the rules. No man going to war is going to try to please his master will entangle himself with the affairs of this world, Paul said. Pull it loose from him. Get it loose from him. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Now, I love you. I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to help you. Get rid of those kind of spirits. If that kind of thing's on you, for Christ's sake, once and for all, get rid of the thing. Somebody said, I can't. Then God lied, I guess. He said you could. He said resist the devil, he'll flee from you. You can't because there's too many wants. You got too many wants in your heart. You got too many wants. And that want is men's admiration, and that want is to be the head man, and that want is for everybody to admire you, and that want is for people to think you're intelligent. That's the mind of the devil. That's exactly what Satan wanted. But the mind of God wants one thing. He said, I came to do thy will, O God. For no other purpose came I into the world but to do thy will, O God. Whatever your word is, your will. I appreciate Wayne's attitude. He's young in the Lord, and he hadn't really got his the carnal side of him eradicated like he needs to get. But he tries so hard to work with me, and what I do, everything that I try to do, he tries to work with me. I know the devil talks to him when he gets away. I know that. But he tries his best. He's trying to whip that thing out and come in and work with me and trying to be one with me. Somebody say, well, I want to be one with you, but you could be wrong in some things. I know it. But you could be wrong in some things too. The Bible said if we are, we can come and reason together. We don't have to tear up the church and tear up the flock and cause a disunity. The Bible said to mark them that cause division among you. Is that right? You mark them. If they're causing division among you, contrary to the doctrine you've been taught, mark them. Something's wrong. You say, what is it wrong? The brother's just, he just don't know what he's doing. No, it's the power of the devil. You say, but that's a good brother. How many believe Peter was a good brother? You believe that was the devil that had a hold of him? According to the undeveloped part of your understanding or the weakness of your life, the devil will work right through you and pull the brethren and you and everybody else right into the mire, right into it. And you'll never know nothing about him even using you, because you might be intelligent, you might be brilliant, you might be this, you might be that. I don't question if you've got any good about you. I'm glad. I need you. I want you. And I want to utilize whatever God there is in you. But you're going to have to be willing to take some rebuke and knock the burrs off. Some of you would rather die for Brother Pike or anybody else to tell you you're wrong about some of your ideas or something. I have people that come to me, they've got ideas, and they don't come to me and they say, Brother Pike, I believe God give me something good here. I wonder if we could go through this thing and it might be valuable. They come and say, well, Brother Pike, now I'm going to do such and such and such and such and such and such and such. When they get through, I say, well, what can I do? I mean, what can I say? Somebody said, well, what do you say? I say, go on, Balaam. What else can I say? Somebody said, well, bless God, I don't think you ought to run the whole show. I didn't know it was a show. Seemed like you're showing yourself more than anybody else. I think Jesus ought to run the whole show, don't you, if that's what you want to call it. I believe that. Had a man to come to me over in Olive Branch. He's been in hot water ever since. Said he didn't think I ought to run the whole show. I said, well, I'll tell you what. If you call run the whole show as keeping adulterous women out of the pulpit and out from singing and whoremongers and different things, I said, I'll run the whole show. I said, until I get somebody that's straight and clean with God, I'll run the whole show, if that's what you call it. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I say these things to help you. You can get rid of Satan. You don't have to jump on your brother. You don't have to feel bad at your brother. You don't have to have bad thoughts going through your mind about your brother and your sister. Evil, adulterous, cunning, degraded thoughts of hatred and murder and adultery and fornication and deceit and how to trick them, take advantage of them, and work everything to your own advantage for your own good. That's Cain. You don't have to do that. All you got to do is resist the devil. You say, how? By drawing nigh to the Word. The Word, you get close to the Word. The Word tells you what to do. All right, let's sing. Let's sing the little chorus everybody ought to know, can we? You still love me? Somebody said, well, you just jumped on me. I jumped on the devil. Somebody said, but you said it to me. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say Peter. Somebody said, jumped on Peter. Jumped on the devil. Peter ought not been giving the devil a ride. You ought to quit giving the devil a ride. All right, let's sing it together. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, he's the lily of my valley. He's the bright and morning star. Sing it with me. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Do you know who Jesus is? Sing it. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, he's the lily of the valley. He's my bright morning star. He's the fairest 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. Oh, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. You love the Lord? God's good, isn't he? God is good. I felt somebody a while ago, you know. Spirits talk, how many of you know that? Said he's getting my revelation. When did I ever hear you give that revelation? Do you ever use my revelation, if you want to put it like that? Paul said, my much revelation. Do you ever use any of mine? Now, why did you act like that? See, God knew that. Brother Pike said, man, I can't see that. I'll be looking for it. I said, where is it at? Do you see it? It ain't out there. But it's God on the inside. He sees it because he looks on the inside. You love the Lord? Don't be carnal. To be carnally minded is death. You'll be swallowed up in Jordan. I want to say this to you right hurriedly before we dismiss. Brother Duncan wrote, said he really appreciated his car. He wanted you to know how much he appreciated his car. And he said that on the way, he ran into Brother Jimmy, the boxer. And he was stranded on the road, broke down and stranded. And I guess was there by himself. I don't know. Was he by himself? They didn't say where he was by himself or what, but I took it he must have been by himself because they said they picked him up, took his clothes and different things and put it in their car, took him on over to West Memphis and apparently left his bus. So I just took it he was by himself. I might not have been, but he said he really appreciated it. The brother wrote from the islands, Brother Walker. Brother Zale, he said he was looking forward to them coming into the islands, them that are going. He's looking forward to it. Appreciated the sale of the car. And of course, we'll have to send him his money over. I asked him to send the title. And we got a call from Brother John Pray. I didn't talk with John, but Brother Zale talked with him. Brother Al seems to be doing real good down there. And everything seemed to be going real well. Number of things were said and done that I can't remember just offhand. But anyway, I just thought I'd share them thoughts with you. Let's just slip our hands up for just a few moments, can we? I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to come over and dismiss us in a word of prayer. And let's just slip our hands up. Don't forget the service tonight. Come and be with us. The Lord will bless you.